Studio Plus, where we chat about Chinese society as well as international events and stories.
June the 12th is the World Cultural and Natural Heritage Day. It is a very special day across the globe. And we know that China has many attractions on the World Cultural and Natural Heritage list. And today we are trying to share with our dear listeners about some of the interesting, you know, sites, cultural and natural heritage sites in China. But before that, I want to dig into the concept of the cultural heritage a little bit to begin this conversation. We know that cultural heritage is an expression of the ways of living developed by a community and passed on from generation to generation, including customs, practices, places, objects, artistic expressions, and values. And also, cultural heritage is often expressed as either intangible or tangible cultural heritage. And so, as part of human activity, cultural heritage produces tangible representations of the value systems, beliefs, traditions, and lifestyles. So as an essential part of culture as a whole, cultural heritage contains those visible and tangible traces, the all kinds of form and antiquity to the recent past. So actually, we know that cultural heritage, we can see that they can be distinguished in several aspects. For example, like the building or the built environment, including some of the buildings, townscapes or archaeological remains. And also it would contain something like natural environment, including the rural landscapes, coasts, shorelines, or agricultural heritage. Also artifacts, including books, documents, objects, pictures, and so on. So it's a profound kind of concept. And on this particular day, the June the 12th, we know that the World Cultural and Natural Heritage Day, I think the purpose to celebrate this particular day is to enhance people's awareness to further protect the heritage in all sorts of formats that we have mentioned.
Yes, that's right. And people often hear tangible cultural heritage and intangible cultural heritage.
Yeah.
I think it's quite easy to distinguish. We find that heritage is not only manifested through tangible forms such as artifacts, buildings, landscapes, and other stuff like what Lumin has just mentioned.
Mm.
It could also be something that you don't really see it, but it's just around you. For example, intangible cultural heritage include voices, values, traditions, oral history. All these things can be considered or can be seen as intangible cultural heritage. And popularly, this is perceived through cuisine, clothing, forms of shelter, traditional skills and technologies, religious ceremonies and performing arts, and sometimes a way of storytelling. So there are two different forms of cultural heritage, but they are also, they're both very important part of this heritage category.
Indeed. And so we want to share with our dear listeners about, the World Cultural and Natural Heritage List, and also, most importantly, the attractions in China. Because in the past decades, numerous attractions in China have been honored to have the chance to enter this this list, a very important list. So We don't know whether our dear listeners have ever been to China or not, but no matter what you are interested in, whether it is cultural relics, natural heritage, or the combinations of both, you probably, if you ever have a chance to come, you will unexpectedly find pleasant surprise in China.
That's right.
I gotta say. So I want to mention, first one, we know, back in 1987, the Great Wall has been enlisted onto this honorable list, the World Cultural and Natural Heritage List. And starting from that year, numerous places, especially the, you know, some of the very important sites, whether it's cultural or natural heritage sites, have been put onto this list for so many years, like 1987 Great Wall, 1987 Forbidden City, or we call it the Imperial Palace of the Ming and Qing Dynasties. And also, let's say, like back in 1994 in Shandong Province, the Confucius Temple and the Cemetery of Confucius, the Kong Family Mansion in Qufu, places like that. And when we come to the year of 1998 in Beijing, Summer Palace, it's an imperial garden in Beijing. And also 1999, Fujian Province, Mount Wuyi. This is more like a natural heritage. And stuff like that. And when we go to the, comes to the year of 2004, like in Liaoning Province, we have Shenyang Imperial Palace. And in 2007, you could see that in Guangdong, Kaiping, Diaolo and villages, and also in Fujian, the earth buildings, lots of examples that I can mention. And most recently, back in 2019 in Jiangsu Province, we've seen the migratory bird sanctuaries along the coast of Yellow Sea or Bohai Gulf of China. You know, this place has been enlisted too. So there are numerous examples.
Yeah.
Lots of places are very famous, and our listeners probably have heard of them. But some places probably you haven't got a chance to really know it very well.
Yeah, that's right. I think every year since 1987, there have been some of those natural heritage sites or the cultural heritage sites being added to this list. Mm. And some of the listeners might be really familiar with some of the names. For example, the Great Wall, the Forbidden City, as you've mentioned, and also in Xi'an, the Muslim of the first Qin Emperor, Emperor Qin Shi Huang's Muslim. That's the place where you can find a lot of the terracotta army, terracotta warriors.
Yep.
And then there's another one located in Gansu Province. That's the Mogao Caves, the Dunhuang, the Mogao Caves in Dunhuang City. And that one's been enlisted on this list in 1987 too. Mm. And also there are other very famous ones. For example, the ancient city of Pingyao, also the Temple of the Heaven in Beijing.
Yep.
And numerous other ones. I'm just mentioning some of them because I saw, I think some of the listeners or some of the people who do not live in China might know if they come to China. A lot of the people would choose some cities to visit. For example, they would choose Beijing and visit the Great Wall, the Forbidden City, Temple of the Heaven, and
Summer Palace.
The Summer Palace, these places. And say if they go to the next stop, perhaps they'll go to Shanghai or perhaps they will go to Xi'an to just visit the terracotta warrior sites.
Mm.
So it's kind of like a must. And some people would love to go to the Yellow Mountain because they want to just view the very majestic and solemn image of this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's very famous for being really the very steep mountain in China.
Yeah.
There are a number of places that people, you know, whether they live in China or outside of China, are quite familiar with.
Yeah.
Because they are all on this list. Now, shall we just mention some of those cultural heritage sites so that maybe some of our listeners want to, you know, chip in their own experience.
Mm.
I'd like to mention one, the Terracotta Warrior Sites, and that's located in Xi'an, Shanxi Province. I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And They've got several pits of the terracotta warriors, and not all of those sites are open to the public at the moment. And with those sites that are actually open to visitors, you can, once you get in, you will find inside the very, very wide pit, there are lines and lines and rows of terracotta warriors, horses, sometimes the chariots, and they are in different positions. Some are kneeling down because they are the usherers, some are perhaps the head of a regiment. So it maintains the very old way of the army formation of the Qin dynasty. And you could see the facial expressions are different,
the clothes style,
the hairstyles are different. And judging from their hairstyles, you can actually see that their ranking is different. They're from different ranking.
Yeah.
So there could be some of the generals, there are some of the, maybe they just equal, their ranking perhaps just equal to lieutenants nowadays. So it's very, very exciting to see, 2,000 years ago, Emperor Qin Shi Huang's army is in this formation. And they've got all these things that you sometimes wonder, perhaps I could see some more things. And it's true. Maybe one day when they, excavate another pit, you might be able to see different colors on the clothes of those terracotta warriors.
Wow.
So just
amazing.
A marvelous place to visit.
You know, I admire your experience so much. I've always wanted to have a chance to go to Xi'an to be able to visit this place, but I haven't got a chance. And we know that terracotta army is regarded as the eighth wonder of the world.
That's right.
So it's marvelous. And also, I want to mention something that I've visited. I want to share with you and our dear listeners. I went to, Leshan, the giant Buddha,
right,
in Sichuan province when I was little. I was amazed by the shape of that Buddha, huge Buddha. It is carved into the cliff out of the mountain with a sitting position and face to the riverside. It is actually the largest Buddha in the world, with over 70 meters high. And together with Mount Emei Scenic Area, it was listed into World Cultural and Natural Heritage Site many years ago. And tourists can actually climb the stairs along the two sides of the mountain to view the giant Buddha from head to feet, where you can raft a boat or have a whole view of this massive craft art. I remember I climbed up there and down on the two sides of the mountain along those stairs. You could see those smaller Buddhas carved into the walls of those cliffs. Very interesting. And when you get down, I remember I was sitting where I got really close to one of the toes of the Buddha.
Yeah.
Huge. I think I was very little. I was only 7 years old. I can vividly remember that more than 20 people can sit surrounding that big toe. So you can imagine how big it is. It's amazing.
Yeah, I thought you would mention that because that's the most exciting part of it. It's just a giant Buddha statue carved out of the one side of the cliff.
Right.
And it's so famous. And I've visited some other Buddha sites, and they look similar but smaller in size.
Yeah.
And now I want to mention another one that I feel very excited when I visited there, and that's the Mogao Grottoes in Dunhuang.
Yeah.
And it's also called the Caves of the Thousand Buddhas, and it just those caves contain the finest examples of Buddhist art. But it's not just confined to Buddhist art. It's got a lot of the murals, painted sculptures from different dynasties. And it's got a lot of the Buddhist scriptures, also calligraphy works. If you go there and visit some of those caves, because they've got numerous caves, several hundred, and you maybe find, apart from the Buddhist stories on those murals and reliefs, you will be able to find the kind of a family life of different dynasties, the way that people entertain themselves, and the way of marriage within different dynasties. Also, if you are very much into different cultures of different eras, you will be able to find different styles of costumes, and sometimes the makeups are different. You know, I was very much impressed by some of the makeup were worn by some Wei dynasty women, because they look really fancy, and then the hairstyles are different, the clothes are different, ways of life are different. And I remember I visited one cave and found a painting of the Wutai Mountain.
Wow.
And the the tour guide actually told me, if you go to today's Wutai Mountain, you will be able to find some of those places painted on that mural.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a map of those ancient times. Indeed. Yet you can still find it in reality nowadays.
Yeah, it sounds like for me, I've never been there, but it sounds like from your description about those places, I feel like it's more like a time tunnel where you can observe all the dynasties and all the cultures, history. It's so amazing. And also, according to the research, it says that thanks to the Silk Road, Mughal grottoes gathered more and more merchants in ancient times and mixed the various culture and gained great reputation. So I guess one of the reasons is because of the Silk Road. When you see people commuting back and forth from Western to Eastern, from Eastern to Western, people leave their cultures or histories on those caves. So amazing. So I think that the World Cultural and Natural Heritage Day is very special day that would remind us, you know, to look back in the history and to be proud of ourselves by having so many heritage on this planet, and also remind us that we need to cherish those precious sites and precious places that forever, because human beings, we need to cherish our limited time span of history on the planet, and we need to do lots of things to protect those
places. That's right. Yeah. We also need to preserve them well, so that the later generations will be able to enjoy them as much as we do today.
This podcast is brought to you by Studio Plus. You can find us on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite platforms.